What if the biggest threat in God's work in someone's life isn't their politics, but your preferences? Scripture says, do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. And that warning hits everything from environmental debates to homelessness and even addiction. In this devotional, we ask, are you helping God's work in others or tearing it down over secondary issues? Stay with me as we learn how to stand firm on absolutes while loving people who are still in process, just like us. So let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, I hope you are having an awesome day today. We are going to dive into our series, Absolutes and the Principles of Conscience. So what are some of our preferences and what are some of the absolutes? Aren't you glad that God does not command uniformity on our preferences, but he does require obedience on his absolutes? All right. So if you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. It really does help us accomplish our goal, which is to change the heart so that we change the public square. Finally, if you're a financial partner of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. We are able to spread the gospel into 39 counties, 49 legislative districts, 10 congressional districts, all across the state of Washington, and let people know that Jesus Christ died and rose for their sins so that they can have a changed heart. So thank you for your generosity and helping us to lay that foundation that will make this ministry secure and move forward for decades to come. All right, we're thinking about principles of conscience. We're going to read Romans chapter 14, verse 20. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. Did you see that? Wow. It says, hey, I want you to be careful about tearing down what God is doing in someone else's heart for one of your preferences. Okay? That is incredible. He says, don't tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean. So these areas of preference, these areas of principles of conscience, they're clean. But they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. So you could say this, they are evil when you elevate your preference to an idol and cause people to have an offense to have to worship your idol. You could say, they are evil when you elevate it, whatever your preference is, to an area of worship and you require everyone to worship that preference. So that is what we are talking about today. Do not destroy the work of God. God is doing a work in each and every person individually. Now, there is a great big difference between absolutes that God has and he requires obedience in those areas. So, you know, we can't demand that of someone or force someone to be obedient, but we can tell them the truth and say, this is an area that God clearly defines, and this is an area that we need to honor and glorify God and walk in his ways. But there are other areas like food or days and many other things that the scripture does not demand uniformity. In fact, the Holy Spirit is working on us individually in those areas because he knows what's best for us. Those areas are principles of conscience or preferences. So he says, don't tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. So it is tragic to damage God's work in another person over a secondary issue. This is important. Whether you are a Republican, Democrat, or independent, God is working on you towards salvation, first and foremost. That is an absolute. That's a truth we proclaim. And then there are secondary issues that he's also working on. Like, what does it mean to cultivate and keep the land, right? So are we supposed to worship the environment? No, but we are to cultivate and keep it. And there could be degrees thereof of how to do that. So that's a secondary issue. We can call out land worship or, you know, pagan worship of you know, the rains or the winds or the whatever. We can call that out because that is clearly defined in scripture that we are not supposed to do that. But we need to be careful because some of the areas of environmental stewardship are secondary issues. So what small preferences are you tempted to make bigger than God's work in someone else? Another one might be like, how do we handle the homeless and addiction? Now, we know that addiction, because the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, is a sin. So that's an absolute. But how we handle it could be a secondary issue. Other words, we should always tell people that addiction is unacceptable, but whether it's a nonprofit that comes in and provides the, which I believe is the appropriate way, a nonprofit comes in and provides the addiction recovery, or the government comes in and provides the addiction recovery, there could be some principles of conscience there. And so we shouldn't tear that down. Now, I have my opinion on that, as you can see. I don't believe it's the government's role. I do believe that is the nonprofit religious church role, because I believe that if you want to get over addiction, you got to have a changed heart, and that freedom comes in that way. And you're talking to a guy who overcame some addictions in my life. So I know that that's incredibly important that we understand those things. So policies that we have out there, many of them can be principles of conscience, and we need to be careful with that. So then we see in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing. So he's going to tell us something that he is confident about, that he who began a good work, Jesus, began a good work in you, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's try that again. For I'm confident of this very good thing, that God the Father, who began a good work in you, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. I love that. Could be the Holy Spirit. For I'm confident of this very thing, that that the Holy Spirit, who began a good work in you, will perfect it until that day. So, yeah, you can decide which one that he is there, but we know it's either the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, and he's working inside of you, and he's going to perfect it until that very day. This is why when we all go through that season, oftentimes people do, between 18 and 23, where they start questioning their faith. They've been raised in the church, and at that age, they start questioning their faith. I don't freak out too much. I really believe that God is, the Father is going to perfect their faith until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at someone else across the aisle, when we look at someone else in a different political party, when we look at someone else that we just don't agree with, understand this. Salvation is first and foremost the foundation that they need, which is an absolute. And that means this. We are all sinners. We need a Savior. That Savior is only Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again, that we may have eternal life. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's an absolute. So as they get cleaned up, as I get cleaned up, we are all in process. And we got to remember this. Not one of us has Jesus finished working on our hearts yet. So don't take your 30 years of walking close with the Lord and look at someone else's yesterday that they started walking with the Lord and just constantly barrage them with areas that they just haven't matured yet in. Also, don't take unbelievers and expect them to be righteous. They're not going to be. They're going to have wacky beliefs. They're going to have things that are contrary to the word of God, and we need to love them, share the truth of the gospel with them, explain why from a biblical worldview that is unacceptable, and then help them mature and grow in the things of God. So here's an absolute, Psalm 28, verse 7. It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. As you go throughout your day, God is perfecting his work in you, and he is your strength and your shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. So trust in the Lord today, and you will be helped. He will walk with you. He will shield you. He will protect you. Your heart can exalt the Lord, and with my song, I shall thank him. The Lord is my strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. You have been anointed by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords today, to be salt and light in that public square wherever you go. So don't be afraid to speak truth. Don't be afraid to do it in such a way that it is clear, but it's done in love for that person. You know, people can truly sense whether you love them or that you're trying to manipulate them. They can sense that. So a prayer that we're going to pray today is, Lord, would you teach us how to outlove people, authentically love them, have a concern for their soul, for their heart, for who they are, their eternal destiny. prior to I have a concern about their policies and all those kind of things, because we have to get this in the right order. It is incredibly important. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd. We want Jesus to shepherd us today, to lead us beside those quiet waters, those green grasses, and to carry them forever. So I hope this has been a great challenge for us today, that we are not to take that sanctification process that God is working out in us and those personal areas of preference and put those upon other people. I can tell you a quick story. I remember in our marriage, I'm still married to Tanya for 30 years. And I can remember that one point the Holy Spirit convicted me. Are you trying to get her to be created in your image, or are you allowing me to create her in my image? And I thought, wow, I'm trying to get Tanya to be like me, instead of allowing the Word of God through the Spirit of God to work on her heart in principles of conscience and allow her to be conformed to Christ's image. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would change our hearts, God, towards those that we may deem enemies, that those that we don't like, those that we are irritated by, those that frustrate us, those have different worldview. God, change our heart that we would truly love people. We are all in process. God, we know that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and life, that no man goes to you except through him. And so, God, let us be absolutely truthful. But Lord, let us hold lightly and humbly those areas that are just preferences that are not clearly defined in your scripture. God, I thank you for what you want to do in our heart and our minds. We pray over Bob Ferguson today. We pray for his salvation. We pray for Donald Trump's salvation today. God, we thank you that you go before these men, God. They are in authority over us, and so we pray for them in authority. We pray for pastors and leaders across Washington State to become on fire for you, God, to be fully surrendered to you, that salvation will come to our shepherds, and that they would preach the whole counsel of God's word. God, we thank you for every deacon and elder. Let salvation come to them as well, God. God, we know that you are a gracious God and that you are drawing your people. Lord, will you teach us how to be salt and light in the public square? Would you open up the doors in all 39 counties, 49 legislative districts, 10 congressional districts? Help us to know that you are the living God, and help us to influence and affect these areas of society and culture. God, we have gone so far away from you. We repent and turn back to you, the living God, and ask for a time of refreshing in Washington State. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.